Welcome to WTF, West Bank Talks Finance, the podcast that turns WTF moments into knowledge that you can use to make informed financial decisions. Subscribe to get notifications when we release new episodes. My name is Lebogang Kgawagetse, the Head of Marketing and Communication at West Bank. And today we are talking repossessions. An interesting topic for most, and we really aim to impact you with knowledge, have a discussion with experts around the room. We've got Ghana Msibi, CEO of West Bank. We've got Harry Molema, who is the head of auctions at West Bank, and Nicole Manthe, who heads up our collections department. So we will be having a casual chat where we really, you know, get to understand what is happening out there. But to kick off, you know, and Ghana, maybe I should pose this to you as a start. What are repossessions, essentially?
It's an interesting question, Lebo, because that is pretty much the non-fund part with a lot of misconception of our business. Quite simplistically, repossession is an activity or an action which ultimately sees the bank ultimately taking the vehicle back, as there has been a breakage in contract, either in payment initially or subsequent arrangements that have been made with the view of disposing or selling off that vehicle to ultimately settle the outstanding accounting balance that the customer would have had with the bank, so that we can ultimately return that very capital to our funders. It's important to always remember that, the way banks work is as they would fund a customer to purchase a vehicle, they have to go borrow that money. And so, you know, on our side, we're sitting with a liability where we would effectively be liable to repay that. And we would, in essence, hold the vehicle as part of our asset through the life of the contract. And, you know, when the customer ultimately defaults on that payment, with the view of trying to make a recovery, is when the repossession would then occur, quite simplistically. It's important for us to understand that, I think, you know, as part of our processes, repossession is really the last resort. Because I do think, you know, we allow for multiple opportunities for engagement, for arrangements, to make sure that we can keep customers in their vehicles. That's ultimately the intent. But we all appreciate that life happens, things happen, circumstances change. And I think, you know, as the colleagues speak a little bit more around the detail and the processes, you will, you know, get a better appreciation of our willingness and our desire to actually engage with customers to keep them so that we can all avoid repossession. So the less repossessions we have, you know, the better for us as an organization.
Okay. Ghana, you touched on, you know, quite a few things, but essentially the bank does not want to do this. It's an undesirable position to be in for both the customer and the bank, because we are in the business of getting more people into cars smoothly as part of the process. But we cannot run away from the fact that there is public perception in terms of, you know, this thing called repossessions. And I want to pick up on a few tweets, and I want us to maybe unpack those and weigh in on those. One is saying that a bank is not your friend, and never will be. You know, treat a bank as you would a rattlesnake. That's a bit scary. I haven't seen a rattlesnake in my life. And then another one says they will want to repossess your car after two missed payments after paying for over 5 years. Harry, as the head of auctions, do you maybe want to weigh in on those tweets in terms of the public perception that is out there, given what Ghana has stated, that it's actually the opposite?
Yeah, thanks, Lebo. So I think the important thing also to remember, and Nicole will touch on this, is that the first step customers must do is always phone a call center, always phone the collection agent who's there to advise them and there to assist them. Is don't run away. Don't put your head in the sand and think issues are going to go away. Ghana touched on, we're in a contract, you need to pay us. And the important thing is to make contact with the customer, with the bank, and ensure that we can help you, and we can help you through a life happens event. Knowing the collections team, they want to assist You saw it through COVID how we assisted customers. You saw it through all the riots when there were riot periods in KZN, the flooding in KZN. We went out there and assisting our customers. So from a, almost a neutral point of view, I would say we're there to assist our customers.
And essentially saying the customers must come to the front, right? They must reach out before things get worse, essentially. Nicole, I'm going to move on to you. You know, how does one avoid getting to that state? You know, because you get to that state after a certain period or after certain things have happened. How, as head of collections, in terms of advice, you know, how does one avoid that undesirable state?
Harry touched on it as well. So for me, being proactive and engaging with us, you know, we have quite a few engagement platforms. You know, you can engage with us on our online platform, on our apps. We have an inbound call center. We also try to call you. So I think be proactive in calling us or, you know, when we reach out, answer the phone. And then be honest. Be honest about your circumstances, what is going on, the reasons for why you are actually in arrears. And then we can have an actual conversation around what's the action plan? How do we get you back on your feet? You know, how long do you need? What does it look like? And that will be based on the circumstances that that specific person is going through. We know there's a lot of people going through tough times. There's been COVID, load shedding, cost of living is increasing. You know, nobody wants to find themselves in this situation, and we understand that. And when you do find yourselves in that situation, partner with us to find a solution. And we will do our best within our means to assist. And, you know, from our perspective, we will continue to open up those lines of engagement throughout the collections process. You know, from the early stages that you find yourself in difficult times to the later stages where maybe it's still getting worse, we will continue to try and actively engage with you to see if we can get you back on your feet. We definitely want to keep customers in the car. We've built that relationship. The tweet spoke to 5 years. You know, that's a big thing. We have that relationship. Why would we want to move away from that relationship? So what can we do together to move forward? So yeah, proactive, open, honest engagement is my advice.
I think the important thing what Nicole also said is throughout the lifespan of your situation, no matter how deep in trouble you are, we have had cars on auction ready to sell, which we've had to pull off auction because we're negotiating with the customer in terms of repayment plans. So we will negotiate, as Nicole said, to our benefit and the customer's benefit as far into the process as possibly we can.
Okay. In terms of payment arrangements, how does that work? You know, how does that look like? What is the process? I know you touched on earlier. Maybe if you can unpack it for us.
Yeah, sure. So what we will do is we'll speak to the customer. We'll understand the specific circumstances. And I think it comes down to specifically what can the customer afford to pay. So what is your current financial situation? And do you have funds to pay towards your monthly installment, the arrear value? You know, if your installment value is 2,000 Rand, can you afford that at 2,000 Rand per month? Yes, you can. Great. You have an arrear value. How much more can you contribute towards that? Customer can say, you know, 500 Rand, 200 Rand. What is affordable, you know? And then based on that conversation, we will find middle ground around what would suit the customer so that, you know, they can effectively rehabilitate. There's no point in concluding an arrangement where, you know, you're not going to end up paying. There's no point in having that conversation because we haven't remediated it. So for us, it's getting to an arrangement that will work and that will fit both sides in terms of would it meet the policies and the rules that we have. And our arrangements are quite long-term, you know, so we don't say you need to pay this over 3 months. We really do take long-term arrangements with customers so they have a good chance of being able to get out of that arrear status. You know, being in arrear status is also costly for customers. You know, there's interest that gets charged on that outstanding balance. So the sooner you can rehabilitate, the better for you overall. And it also obviously impacts your credit profile, which, you know, limits your ability to get future funding. So it's really important that we can get you to rehabilitate as soon as possible, get you back on your feet at that point to reduce any further costs, you know, no longer impact your credit bureau in terms of keeping you in arrears for extended periods of time. But it just comes down to that negotiation point around what can you afford? What does that look like over how many months? And being honest about that, so that we can ensure the customer recovers at the end of that arrangement period.
So in terms of the options, I realize that I'm in a bit of a fix when it comes to paying these cars or this car because life happens. What are the different sort of scenarios for repossessions? I think that's what I'm asking. Maybe Harry, if I can take this one to you.
Yeah, I think the important thing is, you know, if the customer realizes he can't afford the car, what can he do? The options are out there that he can voluntarily terminate the agreement, and then he can call us and he say, come pick up the car. And we would do our best to get the best price for the car. We can still try to get the funds and still try to come up with the money, and we'll release the car back to him if he comes up with the funds. So for me, it's really stay close to the bank. If you feel you can get a better offer, bring it to the bank and we can have a look at it.
Okay.
I just want to add to it as well in terms you know, why would that be an option if you find that you cannot afford the vehicle anymore? Is, you know, if you cannot afford to pay and you decide, you know, the legal option is the way that we're going, there's costs involved. You know, there will be legal costs involved, which, you know, the customer is ultimately liable for. Interest will continue to accrue against that account. So, you know, the total outstanding balance that the customer will ultimately owe, if we go through a lengthy court order process, will be higher. And the vehicle also depreciates over that time, which will mean that ultimately there will be a lower value once the vehicle is repossessed through a legal process if there's non-payment. So it does reduce overall costs owing if that is the route that the customer needs to go because they unfortunately cannot afford the car. So those are just things to consider when making the decision at that point. You know, do I voluntarily hand over the vehicle or, you know, I'm going to continue to maybe not engage, and then unfortunately we then need to take legal action.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose this is no different a principle to anything else in life. You know, if you know that something is wrong, as difficult as it may be to come forward to say, you know, I've got this challenge, you know, it's always going to stand you in good stead over the course of that problem. So if you think about the process as we're talking about it now, it presupposes, you know, that the customer doesn't come forth and say, listen, I've got a problem. Because when they do, I mean, we've got literally multitudes of customers on our books that have come forward and we've made arrangements. And I think Harry touched on it, but what's important to know is that it's not a one size fits all. You know, life happens differently to all of us at different times.
Absolutely.
And I think what's important is we are very much prepared to understanding on the back of two particular things in our world. One is the propensity to pay, which is the ability to pay us at this point in time and over the kind of the imminent period, and the willingness to pay. And those are very important, you know, variables that we use. So let's just maybe expand a little bit. So the propensity to pay really talks to, you know, your ability to be able to make a payment in full or in part, as a function of, you know, however life may have happened to you. And that's part of the arrangements we make. And very much, you know, we're very much always willing to make consideration and concessions to come to some form of an amount. I think, as Nicole said, over a period of time. The problem is when the customer displays an unwillingness to pay. And this is where customers run away and they don't answer the call. And, you know, with the view that for whatever reason, you know, for whatever reason, this problem now disappears, it doesn't. If anything, it becomes worse. Nicole spoke about the interest that accumulates, that's compounded. There's legal costs that comes to it. The vehicle depreciates. And so therefore, there is no income coming in. The amount outstanding is going up. The amount that we sell for is never going to be at its highest point. And so the difference is significantly higher than what it ought to have been had we engaged with the customer through, you know, different means. So in the main, I think for us, it's always to say, one is, when this unfortunate scenario ultimately materializes, how do we get the best sale price for the vehicle? We don't make a profit from this. You know, believe it or not, we don't make a profit. In the event that we ever do make a profit, that is paid back with the customer. Okay, so a lot of people don't also know that. So if there's ever a situation where we sell the vehicle at a price higher than what you owe the bank, we pay that back to the customer. So this process is in no way intended to enrich the bank. Ours is to have as many healthy customers as possible, to get as many people mobile as possible, and to keep a very healthy relationship. Remember, when you put your head into a hole and there's a rattlesnake, it's as scared as you are. So, you know, I think it's just really working together at that scenario.
Okay.
Just to add on to that, I think is, you know, Garner touched on that sometimes we sell the car and we get more than the customer's owing. And that's really down to the team really focusing on and bringing in a good mix of buyers to the auction. So we've got dealers on auction. We've got traders. We call them smosers. You know, they buy and sell. And you've got the end user. So the man in the street can come to the auction and also bid against the dealers and the smosers. So we make sure that we get the best price out there and a very competitive price.
I want to pick up on something that Ghana said there in terms of profit, you know, which the opposite can also happen. You don't sell it for more than what the customer is owing. That scenario right there, you know, I think it's quite important. There's a difference. I owe 100 rand. The car is sold for 80 rand, and I'm simplifying just for example purposes. The 20 rand, is that where the arrangement comes in? Am I still liable? And I ask this because at that point, the car is not in my possession. You know, as a customer, am I paying for a car? Am I making these arrangements for a car that I'm not even driving? Harry, if you can maybe just touch on that.
So the 20 rand, what you mentioned, is still liable by the customer.
Okay.
We encourage the customer to make an arrangement towards the 20 rand because it also assists the customer in terms of his credit profile on the bureaus.
Okay.
Also just to come back to what the bank does to up that price. So we don't just take the car and we repossess it, put it in storage and sell it. When the car is cleared for sale, eventually after trying to contact the customer many times to make arrangement, we really put it on specific auctions. So you may have an auction for luxury vehicles, which brings in a certain type of buyer, and we maximize that buyer base throughout the country with our online facilities. Like I said, we'll also look at the car and say, okay, this engine's not turning. What can we do to get the engine turning? Because, you know, as soon as we get the engine turning, it's going to get more value when we sell it, which is a benefit to our customer. So we do everything possible to ensure that the customer pays us back that minimum difference of that 20 rand you were mentioning.
Yeah. Okay. The sooner the customer engages with us, before we go through the legal process, and what's important here is to unpack that the legal process ultimately means that the contract between the bank and the customer ultimately is what seized, if there's no word I get, it's cancelled, right? By a court. That's where we get judgment. And it becomes very difficult once you've obtained judgment to then start the negotiation process.
And Nicole, over to you in terms of, you know, when it does get there to the legal, there's more costs, which I would assume that the client is still liable for. Again, an undesirable position to be in and one to avoid. Do you want to add on to that?
And I think there could be, I'll just address one thing because it posed a question in my mind as a consumer. So why would I be liable for those legal costs? And it's because it forms part of the cost of collections in terms of getting us to that repossession point. So, you know, it's a question that a consumer could ask, you know, why in that scenario would these costs be incurred? It forms part of the cost of collections in terms of that activity. So I just want to highlight the main difference between the the voluntary surrender approach and then the judgment approach. So when a customer voluntarily surrenders the vehicle and they say, I no longer can afford this, and in that circumstance, because there is no judgment on their account, the customer is just negotiating for the amount that they owe is just the arrear balance at that point. So if they make an arrangement and they pay towards their arrear balance, then we will then release the vehicle. But at point of judgment, because the contract effectively cancelled, the full loan value is then owing, the entire amount, not just the arrears. And that would be substantially larger than just the arrear value. So, and a lot of our customers that get to that point that say, I do actually have a plan, I can pay off just the arrear value. Unfortunately, we can't accept that because now we're going against the letter of the law. Our contract is cancelled and the full value is now owed. So that is a very big difference between the voluntary surrender process and that judgment process. And I mean, it was hard enough for them to get the arrear balance. Now to go to a full contract balance is definitely a bigger hurdle to overcome as well. Because if they could have settled all along, they would have settled by that point. That finds them in a really difficult situation at that point.
Thanks, Nicole. Again, great emphasis in terms of an undesirable position to be in. So here's the scenario. On one hand, you are not in possession of the asset, the car, and it's depreciating in value, but the liability as a customer is increasing at an accelerating rate. This gap, are there instances, and Mr. Garner, you can pick it up here, the gap between the asset that's depreciating and the liability, you know, what does the customer need to understand in terms of that gap?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a very interesting relationship. And just to try and maybe simplify some of these terms, because I think as bankers, you know, we could take for granted
absolutely
that everybody understands it. So in essence, we would, you know, refer to the car itself as the asset, because that's something that there's value in. We can sell it and get something back for it. And then the liability is actually the debt, skoloto, whatever is outstanding, the money that needs to be paid in essence. And so if you think about it, the customer at this point has got this vehicle that is sellable for a value. The sooner you can be able to sell this vehicle, you can be able to get, as I said a bit earlier, the highest value, because the actual retail or trade value before that vehicle depreciates. So every vehicle, every single month, actually goes down in value. We refer to that as depreciation. Okay. And as that value goes down, it means you can sell that car for less every single month, all things being equal. Now, the sooner you can be able to sell that asset, right, you can get the highest, call it price point for it, which will then mean whatever it is that you were owing on your contract will ultimately be at a better, recon relative to if you take a long time to actually dispose of that car or sell off that car. The sooner you can be able to engage with the bank, Harry spoke about it in terms of voluntary. Again, you know, this is kind of coming back with the bank and saying, please dispose this as soon as possible, get the highest point. The bank offsets that against whatever the outstanding balance is. And we make sure then that the 20 is not 20, the 20 is 10 that you made an example of.
For sure. Okay. And essentially, if I'm hearing correctly, the sooner you get rid of it, and I'll say it in inverted commas again, the sooner you can get to the liability part that you owe and really make the arrangements, you don't want to be in a position where it gets higher and higher and sort of unreachable. Pay back
100%, because the debt accrues interest, however the asset loses value. So that relationship in itself gets wider and wider and wider every single month. The wider the gap, the bigger the problem, even after we sell the vehicle off.
Bigger picture, you know, when you look at repossessions in their entirety, how much of the book or how much of the business, and I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot necessarily, but percentage wise, you know, so that contextually we understand this picture that is known as repossessions. Nicole, Ghana, either two of you, percentage wise, what is the percentage of repossessions against the bigger business that we write?
So it really is less than 1% of our entire book base. And I want to reiterate that through every stage in collections, we try to engage and make arrangements and negotiate because we don't want to get to that point. Even through the legal action, the attorneys are doing it, we are doing it, up until the last day where vehicles do get pulled off the auction.
We keep more people in their cars who start off with situations that would ultimately have led to a repossession. And I think it's very important that people take their situations and their circumstances seriously, and they lead the charge. The bank would not know if your circumstances have changed unless you tell the bank. And the bank will not know how to navigate unless you arrange with the bank. And so ultimately, the responsibility is also of that of the customer to come forward and make proposals to the bank in terms of how they would navigate. And throughout, Harry spoke about it, throughout COVID, throughout the unfortunate riots, through every single time we go through pressures of, economic pressures that we see, the bank keeps more people in their vehicles. Because we appreciate that it's a very emotive buy. And we know that people love their cars in South Africa. We all love our vehicles as South Africans. And so I think, we are much more open to working with our customers into making sure that they can keep those vehicles in their own parking yards right up till the point that they paid off.
In terms of, when you get to that sticky point and you've fallen behind with a few installments, chances are, it's not only the car, it's the school fees, it's the retail accounts and whatever the case may be, you are in a bit of a fix. Nicole, what options do you have as a customer when you are at that point? Because chances are you are not only owing on your car installments.
The customer also has an option in terms of debt review. So if they find that they're in debt across multiple credit providers and struggling or overcommitted, there's an opportunity to see a debt counselor. And the debt counselor will go through the customer's actual financial transactions, ask for all the balances from the credit providers, really understand, how over indebted they are, what does that look like in terms of how much they earn, and then we'll make an arrangement on behalf of the customer with multiple credit providers to repay that loan over periods of time. So a debt counselor will assist in terms of understanding that information and would put forward a request on the customer's behalf to the credit providers, and essentially the customer will end up paying over an extended period of time, similar to an arrangement. It's just now it's across multiple credit providers, and it's governed. There's legislation behind it. There's rules behind it. There are costs involved to that service as well. So I think, ensure that you understand what it is, what it means for you getting future finance while you're under debt review. While you're under debt review and you're paying off your debts, you can't actually enter into more debt because you're already over indebted. So truly understand what it means and the costs involved. But there's definitely benefit to that when you find yourself in a situation where you're over indebted across multiple credit providers.
And what does that mean for my credit profile as a customer? Earlier on, you spoke about the fact that, making arrangements has some impact. So the debt review process, what does that mean for my credit profile? And I think you touched on it in terms of future finance or future sort of credit. What does that mean for me as a customer if I get into that process?
So while you're under debt review, it would show on your credit profile so that all future or current potential funders can see that, because we shouldn't actually be providing any more loans to you because you're still trying to pay off the ones that you have. And you don't want to, you know, borrow from Peter to pay Paul. That's where you find yourself in a situation where it does get worse when you're borrowing from multiple credit providers to actually pay off some of your debts. So for the duration that you're under debt review, you will not be able to get any future or any finance at that point. Once you exit debt review and you've paid off your credit providers, then you are back into the environment where you can actually get credit because you went through a situation, you overcame that situation, you've exited, and now you are back to a space where you are able to then get funds at that point. But during the debt review process, unfortunately, you won't be able to get future or current funding from any credit providers.
So thanks, Nicole. I wake up tomorrow, luck locates me and I win the lotto. But I've just gone through the debt review process the day before and it shows on my credit profile. From my understanding, there's time periods in terms of certain things that show on one's profile. If I win the lotto and I pay off this debt, what's the impact of that on my profile? Does it go away immediately if I wake up tomorrow and I pay off?
So I'll tackle that one, Nicole. So it will show on your profile that you've paid up.
Okay.
You winning the lotto will hopefully get you to buy a new baby or financing it through West Bank. But it will show in the profile that it's been paid off. And just to add on to debt review, we've often seen that customers sometimes need to stop, assess their situation, maybe take a step or two backwards to take 10 steps forward. So we often see that in debt review, customers are settling their accounts long before the time has actually, come up for settlement. So they go into debt review, they extend their period, but as soon as the car has value or they get rehabilitated and get back on their feet, they start settling their cars. So it definitely can encourage, if you really holistically got financial problems, talk to a debt counselor.
Great. I do want to just add to the profile in terms of the debt review component. So when you are in arrears and you're making payment arrangements and you're in arrears for an extended period of time, that is also on your profile. Even if you pay up tomorrow, that history is there. So it's really important for the customer to recover as quickly as possible so that arrear history doesn't impact their ability to get credit. You know, if you're in arrears for extensive periods of time, very long periods of time, it shows that payment behavior. If you're sporadic in the way that you pay, if you're not paying full value, it all shows up. It's not a once-off line that this is where I am today. It shows your payment behavior over time. And that will impact your ability to get credit in the future. So the quicker you can recover, the quicker you can get out of that position, the better that you can start the new track record for your credit profile. So that's also a misconception of I've paid, now I should be able to go and get funding tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. You've got a track record that is the credit bureau profile, and that's why you need to engage so that we can get to a point where you can rehabilitate as quick as possible and get your profile to a state where you can actually get funding as well.
And it's essentially up to your future sort of credit providers and lenders if they want to extend that credit or not, if I'm hearing you correctly. Okay, thank you. Well, there you have it. In my language, we say ngwana o saleng o shwella thareng. You know, loosely translated means that a child who doesn't cry dies at the cradle. Basically, raise your hand, come to the fore, speak early, make those payment arrangements before it gets sticky. Because essentially, as Ghana has said it, Nicole has said it, and Harry to a great extent, we do not take any joy in repossessing a car. And it's a small part of what we do, very emotive, very undesirable. So an urge, get to us, call us. We've got different channels. We want to help you. We want to make it desirable because we are in the business of moving wheels and getting people into those wheels seamlessly from a customer point of view and a customer experience. Thank you for joining us. It's been great talking to the experts. It does not get any better than this. Thank you for your time. Thank you for really unpacking it. And I've also picked up a few gems. Touch wood, I will not get into a position where I need to lose my baby. So out there, make sure that you do what you need to do to keep your baby, but talk to us. Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you found it useful. Now go and subscribe to be notified when our next informative episode is available.